This episode of the Heavenly Spectrum is brought to you by the Book of Joshua. Joshua, the inspiration for the greatest of the VeggieTales movies, Josh and the Big Wall, which you can pick up on VHS tape at Lifeway stores across America. And again, the year is 1997.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Heavenly Spectrum, a lighthearted discussion of God and His universe that covers the heavy and the light, the serious and the ridiculous. I am your host, Stephen Simmons. And joining me today are my good friends and brothers in Christ, Jacob.
Hey.
And E.G.
Hello.
New guest alert. Bwee, bwee, bwee.
Those are indeed the letters E and G.
Yes. Correct. That's yes. Me.
Fellas, I thought that I would start our episode this week with a bit of modern Christian poetry.
Oh, gosh.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah. They say the week start on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Won't be in bondage to any man. John 8:33. We the descendants of Abraham, ye should be made free. John 8:36. To whom the Son set free is free indeed.
Amen.
He saved a wretch like me. Who do you think wrote that poem?
I know the actual answer, so I don't want to guess.
I'm going to say John.
It's Kanye West.
It's Kanye West, guys.
Fellas, Jesus is king.
Who did John who?
The Apostle John.
The one that John wrote?
Yeah.
You thought the Apostle John said, please, they say the week starts on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday?
Exactly.
Here on the Heavenly Spectrum, we quote the guys that quoted the guys that wrote the thing.
Yeah.
But Kanye wrote that.
Kanye wrote it because Jesus is king now.
Amen.
Kanye is not king anymore. Get out of the castle, Kanye. Jesus is in town, and he's king up in this land that we call existence.
It's like feudal England.
Climb into the back seat, ye.
Lord Jesus, literally. Ye. Vassal.
Did you see him on the plane?
I saw him on the plane with my spirit animal, James Corden. That was
your
very
spirit
good.
Animal?
Yes. Oh, I love that man so much.
Weird.
He needs to be a Christian. Hurry up and save James Corden, Holy Spirit, please. Let's pray for that one. Let's get James next.
Well, we know a guy, Kanye.
That's true.
But the rest of the podcast will be fasting and interceding for James
Corden. For James
Corden,
please. Yes. James Corden, come on. Let's go. Come on to our side. Join us.
We love you, James.
Do it. much like Star Wars The Force Awakens or Marvel's The Avengers, I partook in it 4 times within the span of 1 week.
It was so good.
Listen,
so
you probably have more thoughtful thoughts than any of us. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know about that because I'm not
local expert on Kanye West here.
I tried to become one because I was curious.
Yeah.
And what I did learn is that this faith walk he's been on has been from the start. And his first 2000, I don't know if it's his first one actually. The song Jesus Walks was one of his popular songs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little kind of wrestling with God kind of moment in there. There's a point. Actually, James Corden I think actually talks about it on the airplane show where he's like, "Oh, I want to talk to God, but it's been so long," or something. So seems like throughout his musical career, he's really been wrestling with the old faith.
Yeah.
There's so many conversations happening around it because of the kind of like CCM, the people that still go to Winter Jam, non-ironically. Yes, that was a hard dig at Winter Jam. But, you know, there's like such an insistence.
I love Winter Jam.
That's fine. Enjoy your time there. You can tell me all about it later.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm going to invite you.
You know, the Christian culture around things like that, they're really eager to like have another famous person on our team.
Yeah.
Just like this idea that we need a famous person to make the gospel relevant or meaningful or any more. Like when Chris Pratt kind of got on board, it's like, well, I hope Chris Pratt and Kanye and whoever else does love Jesus because I think loving Jesus is the best thing for anybody. But do I need Kanye to be a Christian to validate what I believe to be true about the gospel? No. And I'm really like, from what I could tell, it sounds like he's on a pretty genuine faith journey.
Kim Kardashian on, I think it's The View or something. She just said, he has died and risen again through Christ. And she just said the word Jesus on The View. And you know, that's like, Kim Kardashian is saying Jesus Christ. And who knows who's hearing that.
It has very cool implications. And I would say that, to your point, Jacob, that if he continues to faithfully follow Christ, then at least in a cultural sense, his fame and his significance will decrease because he will have to trade some things.
I'm a bit of a cynic, but like my long-term like worry is not about Kanye, but it's for Kanye West. Because it sounds like the way he's communicating the gospel and the communicating what God's done for him is the genuine response to the Holy Spirit making dead people alive in Christ. So it's like, but I am worried of like Joel Osteen's or other just really false pastors, like false preachers and teachers that are going to be after his influence. And
what if now that he is a Christian, Kanye will get up and take the mic from Joel Osteen?
Well, he shouldn't do that biblically.
Elders shouldn't
be young, new in their faith.
Hey, Joel, I'm going to let you finish. And then he says, but Beyonce had the greatest
album
that'd
be iconic.
Of all time.
Yeah. Ooh. What if he starts like championing Dove Award winning artists now instead of Beyonce?
I'm going to let you finish, but Lauren Daigle had the best album of all time.
Yeah.
Hashtag yeah. Look up child.
Can't wait.
Wow.
I don't think anybody's calling that the best album of all time.
No.
Even though there are some bangers on
it. I'm sorry, Lauren.
You did good work. We're proud of you.
Yeah.
It's just like your second album.
We couldn't have done it.
You're right.
If we put our heads together in a room, we put out an album, all the doves would not go to
We could make one.
Is that how the Dove Awards work? They just give a dove, and whoever has the most doves gets to fly out the victor?
Yeah, they fill the room with doves.
That's exactly what
it's
it
kind
does.
Of like Air Bud at the end of the movie, where it's between his boy Josh and the clown. Mm. They, you know, they put the doves in the middle, and whichever artist they fly to is who gets to take all the doves home.
You remember how the doves pick up Snow White and carry her around? Or is that
no.
just general birds?
I don't think that was Snow White.
Which is the princess? The birds take someone around, like air travel.
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Pocahontas?
Yeah, probably Pocahontas. It's Kanye now.
Yeah, it's Kanye now.
Yeah, Kanye's the new Disney princess.
Doves.
Yeah.
In full accordance with the scriptures.
Yeah, yeah.
The Heavenly Spirit descends like a swarm of doves.
Yeah.
And carries Kanye away into the light.
Mm, to West.
Where he dies in the vacuum of space. Is it bright in here, or is it just a light question coming at us?
Dang, that was good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah,
here's
our
question. The question comes from Shackley. I don't know if that's a online username or a real name. Shackley asks, which book or books in the Bible would have won a book award?
Whoa.
What are those?
Like the Pulitzer
what are book awards?
And like Scholastic?
I don't
are those
know
the two awards?
I think
New York
so.
Times Award?
Yeah, bestseller? Just is that
saying
one?
Things.
The New York
good
Times
New York
bestseller?
Times Award for good boys who wrote good books.
What? Wait, Peabody is a writing award, isn't it?
The Lots of Pages Award of like there were too many for me.
I've only named two. You don't know any of them?
I don't know.
I don't know
are.
Any.
I know that the Peabody Award. I think that's
books.
A journalism writing thing, though. I don't think it's just general literature.
So, according to People Also Ask on Google, Specsavers National Book Awards.
Nope.
The Nobel Prize in Literature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So which book would win a Nobel Prize, are we thinking?
What's like the ones that have won the most recent?
Let's see.
It'd have to be a very influential book of the Bible.
Nobel Habakkuk. Prize in Literature.
Is it heresy to say I really couldn't tell you what Habakkuk is about?
That is not heresy.
Minor
no.
Prophets? So the specific authors win the award, and so I don't know what their books actually are, but they're all from not our country.
Okay, so back to the question, which books of the Bible would receive?
Well, none of the authors were from America, so that's a good start.
Yeah, that's right.
Very true.
What's the, let's see.
A bunch of white dudes didn't write the Bible.
Sinclair Lewis won it in 1930. He's from our country. Eugene O'Neill won it in 1936. He's from our country. Now the question is just who has won the Nobel Prize in Literature?
Yeah, no.
You're welcome.
That wasn't the question.
Pearl S. Buck in 1938 won it, and she's from our
Pearl
country.
Pearl Buck.
T.S. Eliot, I know that one.
I've heard of him.
I've heard T.S. Eliot.
Ernest Hemingway won it in 1954.
Okay, who determines the winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature?
Kanye West.
Okay. What book would Kanye pick?
Well, he's a Christian now, so probably the whole Bible.
Mm. Mm,
yeah, it's one
probably
continuous
you
book.
You and you just slap a big gold medal on the whole book.
This is totally unrelated, but it reminds me of it. You know how like the Academy Awards are voted on by the Academy, which is like
thousands of people, yeah.
Yeah, I saw like an interview on YouTube years ago where Jennifer Lawrence had recently been inducted into the Academy, and she said that one time she got a call from her mom, who like lives in Kentucky, and her mom said, "Guess what, Jen, I voted." She's like, "Voted for what?" "I voted for the Oscars. The ballot came in and I voted and sent it off." And Jennifer had not changed her like permanent address from not being with her parents.
Oh,
so the Academy sent Jennifer Lawrence's ballot to her mom's house.
Oh,
and her mom voted and sent it in.
Wouldn't it be crushing if she didn't vote for Jennifer's actual
I don't know if
work?
It was a year that Jen was nominated or something.
Every year that
also,
she's
I'm saying
alive,
Jen,
she's
like
nominated.
She and I are pals. Like, oh.
They just give her an award just because she's her.
So maybe we'll never answer the question.
I hope not. I think that the book.
That was a Michael Scott moment. You had no clue what you were going to say. You just started talking.
The awards would be.
You've got no clue what's about to come out of your mouth.
That is Psalms.
Okay.
Because of the beautiful poetry that they are and the beautiful songs that they have become.
Yeah.
The impact that they have had both on poetry and music.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
the generations to come.
Great. Love
written
that.
By a king.
Most of them.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Written by a king. And the end.
Hmm.
I'm actually astounded by how well we've answered this question.
I was going to say the questions that were going through my brain are like, what makes good literature in general?
God breathed.
Okay, wow. Cool. Well, that's not.
How about that? Maker of the whole universe breathed it out of his mouth of the cosmos. Is that not enough for you?
Yeah, that's what I'm clearly, that's what I'm saying here. My position on this.
Yeah, pick a book that doesn't deserve it.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
That's so interesting that you think most books of the Bible don't deserve it.
I was going to say, in general, we like dynamic narratives and good compelling character development, compelling characters.
True.
Which brings me to probably Genesis.
Yes.
Or Matthew, just because they include a little more of the drama around Jesus' origin story. Or I guess Luke does too, obviously.
I could see those. I could see Psalms as well.
You know, I'm thinking like John Steinbeck, East of Eden, like this generational narrative of a family.
Hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of drama in that one.
And so many churches teach the people in Genesis. Like every kid knows Noah and the coat of many colors.
Yeah.
Now here's an interesting thing. I'm going to connect Harry Potter to the Bible, which maybe isn't a great
movie. Yeah, I do
so
it all
many
the time.
People are angry right now.
I wrote my senior thesis in college was about the parallels in the gospel narrative in Harry Potter.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I wrote the entire paper in 15 hours the night before it was due and cited zero sources because of how much I have that book series memorized.
The longest paper I wrote in college was a 20-page paper on Portal 2, the Valve game.
Wow.
Wow.
Never played it. What were you going to say about Harry Potter? I'm so sorry.
So my favorite Harry Potter book is Order of the Phoenix, but interestingly, the book that I read the quickest, Half-Blood Prince. I can read that book faster than any of the rest of them.
That's probably the one I've reread the least.
For whatever reason, I think the pacing of it is just the best.
Y'all have interesting Harry Potter taste. Order of the Phoenix was very...
You're about to hurt my feelings.
Not good.
It is the best book.
If I wasn't so weak, I'd flip this table.
It is the best book, but because it's the shortest movie, people equate that to bad. But it's such a good book. It's my favorite one.
The longest Harry Potter movie is Chamber of Secrets. Explain that to me. Why does it get to be the
longest my favorite
movie?
Book.
The reason that I brought any of that up is that 1st and 2nd Samuel, when I was doing my like read through the Bible reading plan, those were the two books that I actually read through the fastest.
Yeah.
Because it just, the story of David and Saul, it just felt like such a drama.
Yeah. It kind of reads like a war movie almost.
Yeah. They made a failed TV show out of it a few years ago, like modern day David. Ian McShane was Saul. He's the stepdad in Hot Rod and he's in that Deadwood show.
Oh, yeah.
It's Tai Lung in Kung Fu Panda. Anyways.
I'm not going to remember his face from Kung Fu Panda, but...
Just picture a big cat.
What about like a Song of Solomon?
Gosh, just, that would just be...
How unique of a book is that?
A lot of beautiful imagery in there.
Did 50 Shades win any awards?
All right, hold on though. But 50 Shades of Grey was just Twilight fan fiction with a new skin on.
You're literally right, but I'm just saying it's highly sexualized content.
Do you guys think Song of Solomon was just... Twilight fan fiction?
Yeah, thousands of years before.
It was just a prophetic vision of Twilight?
No, Twilight was just Song of Solomon fan fiction.
Oh, probably.
Hot take. That was me sipping my tea. Ew, gross.
Oh my Hot take.
Slurp.
Neat. What other awards are there? Junior Book Award for kids? We wouldn't want to give Song of Solomon to kids necessarily.
Or at all, no.
I think most books of the Bible have a portion not for kids.
Sure.
What's like the most kid-friendly book?
I thought immediately Jonah, and then it gets really kid-friendly. Yeah.
I thought Philemon just because it's a simple tale of reconciliation.
Well, I was just thinking like the Jesus Storybook Bible, but that's the whole thing. That's kind of cheating.
Yeah.
If I ever have a child... On their second birthday, we're sitting down and watching Passion of the Christ. So I feel like any of the Gospels, I'm good to go.
My mom made us watch it on Christmas Eve a few years ago, which was just Christmas. Like Here's such a depressing mood killer on Christmas Eve.
The Passion of the Christ is meant for a very specific time.
Right.
Christmas Eve.
Remember that scene with the lady who just has like Gollum in a blanket?
Yeah. It looks like almost dead Voldemort at the end of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That's the moment where I paused the movie, opened my Bible, and flipped through a few pages. Yeah. Like, when was that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was John 18.
What is John 18?
No idea.
As we prepare for our heavier question, I want to stop and make the announcement that I meant to make a whole show ago. We have our first patron on Patreon.
Wow.
Austin. Thank you, Austin, for your generous support.
Do we have to get like an ad now for Austin?
The Austin ad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just send us your name, social security number, and address, and we'll make a cool ad out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The announcement is so delayed that my second announcement is we have our second patron on Patreon.
Whoa. Yay.
Thank you, Nicole, for your also generous support. That's two whole patrons. Folks, if you would like to generously support our podcast, currently we are borrowing mics and borrowing sound equipment and borrowing a room to do the show in and borrowing software to edit the thing on.
Yeah.
100% of this is currently borrowed. God gives us the gifts of good friends who give us good things to make good stuff with. But boy, would it be easier to have our own equipment. Also, it's a monthly cost to have this broadcast at all that I'm just doing pro bono right now, baby.
The
support on Patreon almost pays for it though. So that's something. That's great. Patreon.com/theheavenlyspectrum. All the vowels are in it. I'm sure Cole is out there somewhere going like, is there that? They're all the vowels are in there. All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just cool it. Cole, cool it. Cool it, Cole. Cole it down. Cool. Cool. Anyways, the heavy question is from Scott. Thank you, Scott. Is our understanding of creation a salvific issue? I.e., are we in dangerous territory theologically and eschatologically
nice.
Accepting the scientific theories of the Big Bang and evolution by natural selection? Thank you, Scott. A lot of big old words in there. Salvific, just, is this a thing that we need to hold to in order to be saved?
Salved.
To be salved, to have the salve coating our bodies, the good holy salve.
Slurp noise.
Do we get the good holy salve if we don't hold to a
literal creation?
What do you say, literal kind of Ken Ham type approach to creation as a...
Yeah, if you don't think the Creation Museum is a legit cool vacation spot, can you still go to heaven?
It was one of the most stressful videos I've ever watched in my entire life, and it's when Bill Nye went to the Creation Museum with Ken Ham.
Oh my gosh, I'd be so overwhelmed.
It's like 2 hours of just...
I need to watch this.
Of just very passive-aggressive
I
conversations.
I think my shoulders would be in my ears the whole time from how much cringing from secondhand anxiety
I'd feel
from that video.
Oh yeah, it was rough. No one was yelling at each other. They were just having some very...
Oh, so this was pre-new angst Bill Nye, before he got really lit
I think
or
he
whatever.
Was just on his new wave of saying a lot of definitive things about scientists, even though he's literally not one.
So what do we think about this, boys? What do we think about the salvification?
Oh, and eschatology. Branch of theology concerned with the end of the world or of humankind.
Yeah.
So
do we need to hold to a strict creationism, a literal understanding of Genesis to be saved and to accurately interpret what's going to happen to us at the end of time when Jesus comes back?
Yes.
I would love for somebody else to start us off.
I wonder if it is literal and if it is Big Bang, what impact does that have on what Jesus did, who Jesus is? And the fact that he was arrested, was crucified, was dead, 3 days later rose again.
You preaching.
And then ascended to heaven. I don't know how much that changes. And also, that's what is pretty clearly laid out in the Gospels is what saves us, is faith in Jesus and who he said he was.
Right.
There's not a ton of footnotes after that. Do y'all think really anything changes one way or the other about the implications of who Jesus is?
No. I mean, it's an interesting question because it doesn't, I don't know, I've never thought of it before as creation being a salvific thing. And I agree 100% that salvation's only through Jesus. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about salvation alone, if you're thinking that the Big Bang gives you salvation, and anybody that doesn't think that God created the world through a Big Bang is not going to be saved, then I think you have some misguided...
If above believing that Jesus is God in human form, fully man, fully God, and that he died and was raised. If before you believe that, you have to believe in the Big Bang
or believe
in a 5,000-year-old Earth, that seems odd.
Yeah, that's definitely...
I can't find any precedent for that in Scripture.
Right. That's definitely the hesitation I feel. It's like, for the Christian believer, for the Jesus follower, like, I don't think there's any precedent to us saying that this is a salvific issue. It's just not there. There's nothing that says like you need to believe that God spoke dogs out of his mouth in Genesis 1 and 2 or whatever to be in heaven one day.
Right.
In so much as this is not altering or changing our biblical perspective on Jesus and the gospel and the Christian life afterwards.
Right.
I don't care. Like if somebody comes to me and it's like, "Oh, I just think God probably could have worked through the Big Bang." It's like, "Okay, cool. Do you believe who Jesus says he is and who we are in Christ, and do you believe in what Jesus has called us to live like afterwards?"
Yeah.
Sick. I guess we'll find out which one of this is right when we get there, you know?
Yeah. I think creation can kind of mold for us a view of who Jesus is through Adam, you know, and Adam being created. I think we forget that sometimes, that we just assume Adam was a flawed man, but no, he was created.
The part that kind of frustrates me about the arguments around this is, like, there's a little bit of, like, a false dichotomy of Christians or science. You either are a Christian or you either believe in science. It's like, well, I don't know if many real people in real life holds that position. I think there's, like, a mischaracterization of the positions in that argument.
I mean, to maybe play into that unhelpful dichotomy of science and religion, I think both camps, quote unquote, want to subscribe to a level of mystery, or a level of, I mean, faith is the word that people would not like to be used, but there's a level of mystery in science and in religion, whereas the science would say, like, what is mysterious still? We are aiming to find out definitively, right? And then the religious would say, what is mystery? We would trust that the God that holds it all together has got it, and it's okay that we don't know. In terms of details around the Big Bang, details around evolution, there's still plenty of gaps, quote unquote, where it's just like, there's not a definitive answer here yet. And the scientist would say, yeah, we don't know, but we aim to find out. We're doing these experiments or whatever. And the Christian would say, God knows. The Bible does not exist to tell us how the universe works. That's not the Bible's purpose. And that's not why it was written. And that's not what it's for. The Bible is to reveal to us how much God loves us and cares for his people. We're going at it the wrong way if we are chasing after Genesis for answers of where do we come from? How did it happen? What did it look like? What were the details? Genesis just exists to set up the relationship dynamic of God and his people.
And even if you believe in the ideas of micro and macro evolution and the Big Bang and, you know, human development over millions of years, like, for the believer in Jesus who trusts in God's sovereignty with a biblical worldview, that doesn't mean that God didn't create us. We are created by God, you know, like, I was created. I just was, you know, and that sounds so flippant, but it's like, I was created by God, and maybe that was through the process of changing species over a long time. But here I am created by God. So
the second part of this question was, are we in dangerous territory theologically, accepting the scientific theories of, if you are one to lean more in the camp of, oh, it's the Big Bang, oh, it's natural selection, I think that is more dangerous territory, because when we start playing the game of, no, I've got to figure it out, you know, I got to know what the answer is, no, it is dangerous territory, because then we can start playing this game where more and more stuff of scripture that we don't understand fully, rather than digging into that, we would rather just kind of take a step back and say, oh, there must be something wrong. There must be a different explanation for this. I think we can start recklessly playing that game, and then suddenly we don't have scripture as scripture is anymore.
I think the Bible and science complement each other when we treat them in a healthy way. And so when we see that maybe something in science contradicts the Bible, and we choose that, when we side with only science and disregard anything that the Bible has said, then I think, that's super dangerous to be clinging to something that man said was to be true instead of what God said to be true. I was listening to an interview between Tim Keller and a couple other guys. They talked about, when we talk about science versus creation, it's like a non-believer versus a believer, and it's kind of like a hostile, no, this is what has to be right, and this is why. I think as Christians, we ought to be pushing against believing creation to be created by God as an intellectual liability. So when people think we just have to believe it because we're Christian, I think that we're not doing our job in saying, no, I believe God created us in his image. He loves us, and he created it for his glory and his purpose. So not anything less than that. When we start straying from that, we quickly lose what the Bible is saying.
And I will say, like what you were saying earlier, Stephen, my thing is, like, to the person asking these kinds of questions, that's also trying to be a faithful believer in Jesus and a faithful disciple. Like, when we're demanding definitive truths that we can't necessarily discern, there is an element or a part of me that wonders if we're not just trying to delve into self-worship and self-actualization, which is, the way God's revealed himself to me is not seemingly enough, so I'm going to try to become a self-master of the universe by answering these unknowables. God has not given us this step-by-step how-to or the step-by-step history lesson of what happened, but he's given us everything we need to know him and to know how to follow him and how to, you know, love Jesus. So if you're demanding more than that, it's like, well,
and that's tempting to want to know. To know how and why. So you,
because in a lot of ways, curiosity is a gift, you know, inquisitiveness.
We shouldn't ever have a point in the Bible where it's like, ugh, I don't want to think through that and just kind of step back and just, because no, we should be digging into the word and trying to understand passages that we don't. Because if I'm in relationship with a person, if I love this person that I'm in relationship with, I don't just profess my love for them and then just back off and never try to understand anything more about, you know, every day I want to be learning more about them, because then I'm able to love them more truly if I understand them better. So starting from the point of God is God, God has saved me through his son Jesus, God can be trusted. I can go to a passage from Genesis. And if where I'm at in my studying of Genesis, I come to a place where I step away from that and I'm like, this is alluding to something, but it's not a literal thing. All right, that's where I'm at right now. And I will continue to study from that point, trusting that at the end of the day, God is God, Jesus is Jesus. He can be trusted. And then if I come to a point where I'm like, I think this literally happened. I think somehow God miraculously manipulated time and space to create these things, and he laid it out in a way that from our perspective now, it looks like a timeline that it was not from his point of creation. If that's where we're at, all right, studying from that point, from the perspective that God is God and Jesus is Jesus, and they're trustworthy. Because I think that the creator and the holder of space and time is capable of both, you know?
Yeah.
I really do. In the same way of like, if I was reading like an autobiography on a poet, and it opens up with a foreword on the author, and at the end there's like notes from the author or something, and then in the middle there's poetry from the author, it is not a cop-out to say this part is poetry and this part is not. Because it's like, well, no, there are different writing styles. This is just how literature works.
Yeah.
So studying the Bible, learning which areas of that are poetic, and understanding, okay, this is a poem. I need to be willing to read this differently. Also, the book of the Bible that we're going to bring up every single time, Song of Solomon. It's like, we established last week how it's unhelpful to read that literally, you know? She's not in love with a huge pillar, you know?
What is she in love with about the huge pillar?
I love lamp.
Alrighty, fellas, let's get our ears full of this next question,
okay,
which was sent to us by Caroline. Thank you, Caroline.
Ooh.
The question is, what is Jesus's Enneagram? And then the follow-up question, what is his Enneagram?
Ooh.
Is what it actually says, I promise. Fellas, if you're confused, what would be the feminine fellas? Fellas?
Phillies.
Philly? I don't believe you.
Femas.
Fellas and femas. Themes and feels.
Fumes.
Ooh, fumes?
No.
Don't like it. I made a parody Enneagram account called the Enneagram. It's spelled E-N-N-E-E-R-gram.
I have seen it. Loved it.
So that's what the reference is.
We should like probably start by all identifying our own Enneagram types.
Oof.
I'm a one wing two.
I'm a...
Wow.
Two wing three on the Enneagram.
You're certainly some kind of six over there, aren't you?
Have you both taken the test?
For Enneagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't taken it, but I...
What's your hunch? Some kind of six.
I'm
sure.
A seven.
Yeah. Seven wing six. Six. I always get six and seven mixed up.
Seven, I don't think is Jesus. I think sevens... My wife knows more about the Enneagram than I do, and there's people that have like studied this thing.
Right.
I know what each one is. I don't know some as well as others.
Okay.
But
okay.
I think nine peacemaker could be Jesus.
He says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Maybe he's just promoting the Enneagram in his Beatitudes.
I'm not joking. You might want to cut what I'm about to say because it might rattle some people's cages.
Because we guaranteed it will stay in.
I just, no, but here's the thing. A line has been said. Something to the extent of Jesus is obviously the perfect amalgamation of all the Enneagram types. And I think that's such an annoying cop out.
Yes, like, it is. You that's can't what I mean. Say you that.
Don't put that in there.
Don't worry. I won't leave it in.
No, it's just like, but this idea that like Jesus has to be all things, it just annoys me a little bit.
So you're saying that at least one Enneagram is not Christ-like?
Yeah. Clearly.
Interesting.
But also at the same time, I could probably point to character traits of Jesus throughout the Gospels that I would type into all nine of them, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus is a peacemaker. He also flipped the tables with a whip because he was so mad about things not being the way they should, which
How
is like
is
a one
supposed
thing.
Supposed to be peace when there's tables in the air.
Yeah. Isaiah calls him a wonderful counselor, which is the stereotype of all Enneagram twos. I don't know. We could probably do this for all of them.
I think people change over the course of time for sure.
How
so
dare you?
You will never
well,
be.
When I discover my Enneagram type, I fully realize myself and I'm never changing.
Wow.
The reformer. Jesus brought about religious spiritual
that, yeah, reform. Exactly. That's what
the
I mean.
The helper. He helped some people miraculously and also arguably all of creation by his death.
Are you a universalist? Whoa.
The achiever. He achieved
so much.
For the glory set before him, he endured the cross. What's that verse?
He achieved what no one else could achieve.
Yeah. Ooh, got him.
He achieved resurrection.
I couldn't do that.
The individualist. None quite like him.
Dude, got him. Oh my gosh. See, we could do this.
The investigator. He got in there and looked at where sin is and he said, well, get out of
no
there.
No joke. And was it Matthew or Luke, whenever Jesus leaves, stays behind and when his parents go to Jerusalem?
And he said, let's split up and search for clues?
Well, no, I just mean he's found arguing and debating and learning from the rabbis in the temple at age 12.
One could say it's kind investigating.
Of five-ish.
Loyalist. He's loyal to his father. He says, let this cup pass for me, but your will not mine be done. Enthusiast. One could argue he enjoyed his own message.
Not that enthusiastic, though. Like, Jesus is kind of represented.
Think Jesus is enthusiastic?
No, I just mean Jesus is kind of represented it in the gospel narrative as a little stoic, is all. You know, like, cares about the right things, but overall, no, not much peaking to his emotional representation.
Pretty chill, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we just talked about flipping tables. That's a little enthusiastic. Yeah.
Enthusiastic about protecting
So here's the thing.
Household.
I scoffed at how
we do harp on that a lot about him flipping tables. Yeah, I mean, we do bring that up as the one instance.
Like, one example
that
of
he just
zealotry.
Lost it for a second. But of course he didn't. He didn't sin.
I scoffed at how annoyed I was that people say that he's all types, and here we are saying he's basically all types, though.
Does he challenge you? That's number eight.
Mm.
Yeah. He did challenge the Pharisees on occasion, didn't he?
Dang, that's right.
Super challenger.
And then here we are at Peacemaker again with nine. This is also my, I wouldn't say beef, but just one of the things that I often note about the Enneagram is just that when you really think about it and read through these types, I think that everyone could say that elements of all of these come up in their lives depending on the situation.
Exactly, you know?
It's not really like a, I am confined to the cage that is two. No, these traits pop up most frequently. I like to think that I've investigated my mystery or two in my day.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't call myself a five.
Do you think if you could, you have a strong perception of if you had, oh gosh, if you had to nail down Jesus...
Wow.
Which type? Which Enneagram would you type him as? I'm so sorry, Jesus.
No, but Jacob, because of your sinful record, you did nail down Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's a spiritual song about that.
Yeah, there is. It's called Jesus is King by Kanye West. Mm. Anyways, are you talking about the Enneagram or the Enneagram?
Enneagram.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know enough about this ding-dang test to know, honestly.
There's positives and negatives to all. Obviously, Jesus isn't any of the negative.
I might say eight.
He's an eight?
Just because he really just challenged all the paradigms that people had, and he really just, he didn't put up with people who were going to try to preach any level of a false gospel.
Right. He still doesn't.
Yeah. Now, I feel like people who understand the Enneagram more than me could be screaming at their headphones or radios or something, so I feel under-equipped to definitively say what Enneagram number he is, because I also have to admit that I'm just not insanely enthused about the Enneagram.
Okay, there are some Enneagrams that are less desirable, if I'm going to be honest, right?
Uh-oh. Everyone gather around the radio, gather the kids and the dogs.
Just to put everyone in humanity, it is nine groups.
Yes.
Hitler. Uh-oh. Where was he? You know, there are bad people. I'll say this. There are bad people in every group. Maybe there's not a bad number.
Yeah.
But there's bad people in every group.
Oh.
Why are you making that face? What'd you just look up?
The first website that I found described Hitler as a sexual four.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
What does that mean?
That's like a wing that's off of the chart.
What is this? Angry envy? And a sense of entitlement with a fiery passion for protest?
I don't want this. We need to move on.
Yeah, this is bad.
But what about his Enneagram?
Repeat them really quickly.
The Enneagrams. The one to the big bad boys. Jesus was a big good boy, so there's no way he could be a one.
Yeah.
The twos are the tummy ticklers. I don't remember him tickling any tummies.
Me neither.
Threes are the ones that are always under the tree. Jesus left multiple trees. So the threes die if they leave the tree. Fours are the ones that have a gun. They weren't invented yet. Fives are
the Undertaker from WWE.
Undertaker didn't exist for centuries.
Decades.
He's older than you think. Six was the Spank Spankers. They didn't have Spanks yet, and I don't think Jesus... He could have spanked some of the people in the temple, but that would have been kind of strange.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Seven are the Brilliant Geniuses, so that could be him, but that is more directly tied to going... They're Brilliant Geniuses because they... are on my YouTube channel, and that also wasn't invented yet.
Mm-hmm.
Eight are the better than everyone else's, and so that's why I think Jesus would be an eight, because he's better than any of us. And then nines are the last ones, and Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, so that doesn't work.
But if he's the last one, how can anybody else be a nine?
He's the most last one. That's true.
Okay.
So I guess he could be...
Oh.
He could be like an eight tentacle nine.
No, yeah, he's definitely nine because he's the Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
So last one.
But an eight in the Enneagram, do they have like some smugness about
not
being...
inherently. Their blogs are better than everyone else.
Yeah.
And so with that, there's a level of smugness. They have very good blogs about how smart they are. But Jesus didn't write a blog. Well, you could argue that scripture is his blog. That's better than anyone else's.
I definitely like the nine one. It sounds the most fitting.
Yeah,
he's the last one.
No, that's true. Yeah. If the last 45 seconds have been absolute foreign language to you, you should probably go follow at any your Graham Coacher
right.
on
yeah,
Instagram
right.
to understand and still be entirely lost by that.
Yeah.
Fellas, we really did it.
Yay!
Here's Woo. A funny thing. I have an opening script for the beginning of every episode, and I realized it would be helpful to have a closing script.
I disagree. Let's just trash can it every time.
Trash cannon?
Trash can it.
Oh.
Dumpster fire that ish. Let's just stumble into the finish line. That's how we end our okay. lives, right?
So just ramble on and on.
If you have any questions, heavy or light, we're starting to run out of questions. I had a big reservoir again? Of questions. We're running low again, yeah. So if you could send your questions to theheavenlyspectrum@gmail.com, that is theheavenlyspectrum, all the letters in it, @gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram or Twitter, @theheavenlyspectrum with no vowels.
That's right.
Or you can follow us on Facebook, The Heavenly Spectrum. Just type out The Heavenly Spectrum with spaces and everything. Share our podcast with all your friends and family, relatives, people that you've been having fights about spiritually. And use this as a weapon. Weaponize
yeah, that's
our
right.
podcast and yeah. throw it at them.
I just thought that you in particular should hear about this.
Oh, yeah. After we, you remember when I screamed at you about being a Pharisee? Well, you should probably listen to this podcast. I think it'll really make my point
This
clear.
Is all part of the script you wrote for the end?
This is what my script says.
Yeah.
If you want to support us financially, patreon.com/theheavenlyspectrum. If you want to support us with your just ears and heart, just keep on listening. We don't need nothing from you. We simple folk. It ain't much, but it's honest work.
Yeah, that's right.
It's honest labor. We're thankful for you and the work that you do. I'm sorry.
I assure you, this is all scripted.
This yeah. is all part of my script. It says in brackets, do country voice. Country boy, I love you. All right. Thanks for being on the podcast, brothers, and also with your spirit.
And as to you.
And also with you.